Hello. Thanks for joining us today for Truth Be Told Transformation. I'm Bonnie Burkert, and I'm here to share with you tools to help you transform so that you can live your highest truth. What does that mean to you? What is our highest truth? I think it's being in alignment and really feeling the light and knowing that you can kind of move through anything. And one of the tools that I use is I have favorite mantras. And mantras could be something like I'm grateful for what has happened and just kind of always being in silent gratitude. Or it can be maybe I love you. I know that we think that a mantra needs to be repeated over and over again, but I think that it's also something that we can really live by. So today on the show, I've invited somebody who knows a lot about mantra, both as a singer and practitioner of the mantra in the Kundalini yoga discipline, as well as a supporter of others as owner of a record label who is helping get this music out there. So today, to Truth Be Told Transformation, I welcome Jai Anand.
Hi.
Sat Nam. As we say in Kundalini yoga, Sat Nam. Let's talk about that because the word Sat Nam, I mean the term, deals with truth, right? Truth is my name?
Yes, Sat is truth. And Nam is literally defined as name. It is the name for that which can't be named, the one creative force that flows through all. And Sat Nam is a bij mantra, a seed mantra. Mm-hmm. And it is the seed of the truth of your experience of the universal infinite one, that force that flows through all creation, the seed of the truth of your incarnation's experience, right? So you're incarnated here in this very specific human body, right? I'm me and you're you. Your Sat Nam is the truth for you of this one creative source energy that runs through all.
Thank you. That's a great explanation and feels very, very good to feel that. So welcome again. And I know there's a lot of different things I want to talk to you about, but
so much.
We described, I know you're doing a lot in the Kundalini yoga community, and I really would love to welcome you to talk about the Kundalini circle that you've created online.
So I have something called Club Kundalini, which I started on Clubhouse. So Clubhouse is an audio only app that launched, I don't actually know when it launched. I got on in January of this year. Mm-hmm. And I started trying out teaching Kundalini yoga meditation and pranayama like in February. I got a big download to start this club, and we now have 3,500 members.
Well, that's fantastic.
Thank you.
Now, how international is it? Because in Los Angeles, Kundalini yoga is really popular. When I moved here 15 years ago, I found a lot of great teachers, and there's a real community, and there's festivals a lot of times that have Kundalini yoga. And but I'd love to hear, are you finding people that are practitioners outside of LA as well?
Oh, far beyond LA. We have members in Africa. We have members on every continent, actually. Which is incredible. Most of our membership is based in the States or in Western Europe, but we do have members in Africa, in India, in Russia, Finland counts as Europe, and everywhere else. It's amazing to have a global community right out of the gate. Like that's the what I didn't expect about Clubhouse was how global it is and how fast our growth would be globally. But that's, there's no barrier to entry. You don't have to go to class in the same way.
Right.
So they can just get on their phone, listen in, and learn and practice.
Well, I think that's really, you really tapped into something. And it's the key word in all of this is community, because I definitely think we need to find each other. And I know it's not always possible to be practicing in person anymore at this time, or hopefully we'll be going back, tiptoeing back in. But at the moment, I think that there's something about practicing online that can still help us stay accountable. And just that nice little challenge to ourselves to show up and knowing that you'll have other people there.
Yeah, well, we have 40 rooms a week. So for example, the first practice that I launched on Clubhouse is Breath of Fire.
Okay.
And
talk
you know
to us
what
a little bit.
Fire is.
Yeah, well,
Pardon?
I do, but let's share that with our viewers.
Okay. So the basic pranayama, Breath of Fire, is an equal inhale and exhale through the nose. You can hold your arms in different positions depending on the kriya, but you know, if we're gonna, do you want to do it now?
Yes.
We would sit in Gyan
Mudra. Let's
do
it. And we're also reminding you that there are some people that don't see us, that we're audio only as a podcast. So let's be very descriptive. So
okay.
Gyan
That's
Mudra,
fine.
Forefinger to thumb.
Touch your pointer finger and your thumb together.
Okay.
And rest the backs of your hands on your knees. So you're going to be making two perfect little O's with your hands. Sitting up tall and closing your eyes. Allowing yourself to root down into the earth and reach to the heavens, projecting out through the crown of your head. Breath of Fire is an equal inhale and exhale through the nose. If you're pregnant or on your moon cycle, do not do this pranayama. It sounds like this. On the inhale, you mentally vibrate Sat. And on the exhale, you mentally vibrate Nam. We just explained Sat Nam to you, so you know what that is. You're going to hear the sound of your breath coming into your ears like that. And inside of you, in sync with your breath, you'll hear Sat Nam, Sat Nam, Sat Nam. And we can just do it for, how long would you like to do it for, Bonnie?
15.
Okay, we'll do it for 15 seconds. Close your eyes. Place the tip of your tongue on the upper inner gum line behind your front teeth. That relaxes your jaw. And we begin. Inhale. Hold and consolidate. And exhale. Satnam.
Satnam. Thank you. Thank you for the instruction on that.
You're welcome.
The pranayama is really important, and I feel more calm from it. I definitely do. It's very detoxifying as well, correct?
Absolutely. It's said that if you do 8 minutes of Breath of Fire, you clean all your blood.
Incredible.
Right?
All right.
That's the teaching.
I feel duly challenged.
Right. It's the other great thing about, pardon me?
No, I was just going to say, you know, it's the holiday season. We'll date this. So, you know, cookies do happen from time to time. So I think I might need to do 16.
Yeah, it's also detoxifying for the subconscious mind. So the teaching is that 1,000 thoughts come into your mind with the blink of an eye. So 1,000, right? And those that you don't process consciously, and now think about how many thoughts you process consciously in the blink of an eye, right? The rest of those settle in your subconscious. I kind of think of it metaphorically like dust. Hmm. So all those thoughts are just layering in there, sitting in there.
Yeah.
And when you do Breath of Fire, you clean your subconscious mind. And when you clean your subconscious mind, that allows you a direct connection to the universal mind, which is effectively the Nam. So you're having a direct connection with the one creative energy that flows through all. And that kind of clarity is, it's beautiful. It's sort of like the ultimate house cleaning of the mind. And in the Kundalini practice, as you well know, we strive to master our minds. Right? If you master your mind, which you do through meditation, you basically have mastery over the totality of your existence and your life, and control over the quality of your life and the choices you make. The alternative in the teachings, as I'm sure you also know, Bonnie, is if your mind is your master is a monkey. If your mind just monkeys around and does whatever it wants and this, that, and the other until you get control over it. And once you do, it's an incredible superpower.
Right on. I feel that. That's great. So I was just kind of thinking about, I'm a person that really does enjoy certain, meditations of Kundalini yoga on a daily basis. So, and I'll share with you later ones that I'm working on.
I love it.
It's great. It's mighty. So,
but you have a sadhana.
I do. Okay. And I wanted to talk to you about that, that spiritual practice, that daily practice. And as somebody that is part of, clearly, you're a teacher, and I know that a teacher would always have, a daily practice. And so I'd love to hear how that works for you and what you see the benefits are to inspire others.
Well, if you're not a yogi, you can understand a daily practice as a way that you show up for yourself every day. Okay. And if you consider trust, if you learn to trust yourself, how do you do that? You learn to trust yourself by developing a trustworthy track record, a track record of accountability to yourself. So if you show up every day to do a practice, what do you learn? You learn that you can count on you. I always say in life that the best bet you can make is on yourself. If you want to make it an even better bet, have a daily practice.
That's great. So what are some examples that people could do if they're just getting started and they haven't learned maybe some of the mantras that we're talking about? We just mentioned Sat Nam, so you can certainly experiment with that. But what would you say are some simple ones that could get people started?
Simple mantras or simple practices?
Practices.
So there are four elements of a basic practice. One is mantra. One is pranayama, right? One is a yoga set and one is a meditation. So you don't have to start with all of those. You can pick one. So one practice would be just walking around saying Sat Nam whenever you can. Okay. And why would you want to do that? The frequency of the mantra and its meaning permeates your being when you think it or speak it. So you can, that in and of itself is a yoga practice, believe it or not. Well, I shouldn't say believe it or not. You're a Kundalini yogi, so you know. Another simple mantra is Vaheguru, which is sort of like the ecstasy of the guru. And in this practice, the guru is the Shabad Guru, the vibration, this sound current, this one energy that flows through all. That is the ultimate teacher. So it's sort of like, wow, the teacher. And that's Waheguru. There are all kinds of simple practices. You can come on Clubhouse and do Breath of Fire with us. We do it 7 days a week at 8:30 a.m. Pacific, and I'm happy to teach you there. That is a brilliant, very simple practice. Kundalini yoga is a householder's lineage. And that means it's designed for real people who like have real lives, who go to work and pay bills and do dishes and have children and so on. we're not ascetics that go up into mountains and into caves and meditate for days, months, or years. These practices are intended to support us in being the best humans that we can be. So there are hundreds, even thousands of very simple practices that are very short, 3 minutes, 9 minutes, 11 minutes. You can learn how to do these and integrate them into your life every day and cultivate your experience of yourself. You know, you talk here about tools of transformation, which I absolutely love. And I watch many of your podcasts. Thank you so much. I'm so glad that you're doing this. Kundalini yoga as a tool for transformation basically shifts your relationship with yourself, and you shift your relationship with this source, with the Nam. And in doing so, you have the opportunity to unconceal your highest destiny. Each of us as an incarnated human is here to do something. Everyone is different. The practice allows you to unconceal what that is. And then you cultivate the fortitude of your nervous system, the strength of your mind to deliver on that. And as you said, Bonnie, really importantly, and possibly most importantly, we do it in community. So we're accountable to each other. Yogi Bhajan has this teaching, keep up to be kept up. And I added something to this in the digital age for me in our Sangat on Clubhouse, which is show up to keep up, to be kept up. Because as you can imagine, you know, like, okay, in the 70s, a bunch of people are living in an ashram together and they're getting up early in the morning to do their sadhana together. And somebody decides they're not going to go. Well, you know, their friends are going to walk by, open the door, drag them out of bed and drag them downstairs to do sadhana. But now people are doing it
right
on the phone, right? So you got to actually pick up the phone and dial in to show up to then do the practice. So that's how we do it at Club Kundalini. Show up to keep up to be kept up.
Fantastic. And just so you know, we'll be sure that there are links for you to find Club Kundalini so you can join in. And I know I'll definitely look forward to it. I tried to catch you this morning, but definitely soon. So let's stay with mantra, because that was one of my goals for our conversation.
Yes, I got distracted.
We refer to it as the yoga of music. And so that's the name of our show. And so the reason I called it that, Jayananda, is that to me, yoga is, again, sort of that alignment with the divine. And you are working in sacred music yourself, as well as other artists you work with. So please talk to us about your latest single, which we will hear at the end of the show. And it is a beautiful rendition of the mantra Rama Dasa.
Yes.
And it's the healing mantra. So please, you can tell us so much more about that.
I would love to. So Rama Dasa is also known as the Siddhi Gayatri mantra. It's one of the mantras from the fourth guru, Guru Ram Das. It's made up of eight sounds, Rama Dasa, Sa Se So Hung. And it is said to contain the radiant healing energy of the cosmos. And I have to say that again, because it's so incredible, right?
Yes.
This is a mantra that contains the radiant healing energy of the cosmos. So when you chant it, you're accessing that healing energy, projecting it through your system so that you can then project it outward to heal others. I can go on and tell you about the meanings of the syllables if you like.
Yeah.
You tell me what you're interested
in.
No,
it's great. I'd like to dissect it a little bit, just because I really want to reinforce this. And I was envisioning, and the reason I was at a pause is I was just envisioning, you know, sort of myself holding that mantra and then what I could do for others. that I know could use some healing right now. So anyway, you definitely had me sort of spiraling into the cosmos with that possibility.
Well, so Ramadasa Sase Sohang, the Siddhi Gayatri Mantra, is chanted in different ways and used in many different meditations. So the one that we practice every day at Club Kundalini, we do this 7 days a week, is a particular one that's often known as the meditation for healing hands. And you hold your hands in a particular way, you look at the tip of your nose, and you chant the mantra, and you're generating healing energy that emanates from the centers of your palms. Ramadasa can be chanted in other ways for other healing purposes. So this is the one that inspired me to record my version of Ramadasa, this particular meditation, which in fact, I first was taught by Tej.
Oh, okay. Yeah. who's been on the show.
Who was on the show in September.
Yes.
Yeah, it was an amazing episode. So, you know, look, it's the pandemic. It's COVID, which is the pandemic, duh, sorry. But in this time, right, we're all sort of looking for healing. We're looking for healing for the physical body, right? And we're looking for healing for our community. We've been so distanced from each other.
Yes.
So this frequency really brings us together to heal ourselves and then to heal each other. So when we practice it at Club Kundalini, we first project the healing for the self, for the loved ones. We make an offering of healing at the feet of Mother India. She's the home of our lineage. And then we heal the earth. We hold the earth in this white healing light that we project from our palms. The mantra itself is so beautiful, and I would love to tell you about it if...
Yeah, I'm very interested.
Okay, so the mantra, the way we practice it, the way it's done in this practice, these eight syllables are divided into two parts and four pairs. So the first part is Ramadasa, right? And that ascends. We go up into the ethers, reaching for the expansive energy of the infinite. And then we pivot down, descending, sa, se, so, hung. And in that pivot, we bring down these etheric energies, right? And we interweave them with the earthly. And we arrive in ourselves at this embodiment and blend of purity, which is the healing frequency that we then project out through ourselves and unto others. So Ramadasa, part one, goes up. Sa se so hung, part two, goes down. And then we have the four pairs of syllables. So Ra and Ma, sun contrasted with moon, right? The sun is hot and bright and strong, purifying. The moon is cool, receptive, nurturing. Then we have Da and Sa. Da is earth, your secure ground of action, very personal. And then Da is contrasted with Sa. Sa is the impersonal infinity, the totality of the cosmos and all of its projections. Totally impersonal. That is Sa. So that's the pair that we pivot up. And then we repeat Sa. So somewhere in the repetition between Sa and Sa is the pivot where we bring the infinite and interweave it with the finite. So the third pair is Sa, Se. Sa again is impersonal infinity. And then Se is the embodiment of Sa. So personal infinity. And then we have So Hung. So and Hung together mean I am thou. And what can I say? Hold on, let me find the right way to describe So. Um, I've completely lost it. I'm so sorry. So I sorry. So is I am thou. You are bringing yourself home to yourself in the sacred understanding of the root of yourself. So you come home. So the mantra completes this cycle, right? You go Rama Dasa Sa Se So Hung, and that sound hung, you pull your navel and close the cycle. And then the power of the mantra builds on itself, cycle upon cycle upon cycle. At the same time, you're also going through a full circuit of the chakras. So first chakra Ra, second chakra Ma, Rama Dasa Sa Se So Hung. Because in the Kundalini tradition, we have eight chakras. The eighth chakra is the aura. So you're running through this circuit of the chakras while you're doing this cycle that brings you up to the infinite and back down to the finite. Weaving for yourself this combination of the finite and the infinite into this blend of purity. And it's that pure energy that allows that is the healing energy.
Wow, this is mighty. This is mighty indeed. So what made you choose this mantra? I mean, obviously we need healing, and I know that you've had your own healing journey as well that may have created, you know, may swayed your decision on, but there's a lot of great mantras in the Kundalini tradition to choose from, or
so
even beyond,
many.
Correct? So this is your first recording as an artist. You've got a label. Tell us about your label. Tell us about your process of, putting out your first single.
So, well, basically, I chose this mantra because of its effect on me. I've been practicing it, and it has given me great healing. I've healed myself, and I feel that I've been able to heal others, in particular by forming this Club Kundalini community. But I also do that through my record label, BY Music, where we are home to three Best New Age Album Grammy winners.
Congratulations.
Thank you. One of whom is White Sun. I know you know them very well. So do you want me to talk about my single, or do you want me to talk about the label?
I would like to talk about your single. So you mentioned that it was very healing for you.
Yes.
So at that point, there's a lot of different directions you could take the recording of the single, the music that you choose and who you choose to work with. So I'd love to hear that.
So when I decided to record again, so many, many moons ago, I was in a band. And I sang and I did all these things. And this is this is what I say, BC, before child. And I had my child, I got married, I had my son. And I've done a couple of sessions here in LA since I moved back from Europe, but nothing of any kind of significance. And I actually felt like I had lost my voice. And what happened for me during COVID is I got super creative. So not only have I been making music, I've been making visual art. I started Club Kundalini. I've expanded the roster at BY Music. It's like somehow having all this time in my house, right? Mm-hmm. I was like, well, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
So I started to do all these things. And when I decided to record Rama Dasa, I reached out to Hide Ikumo, who is a Japanese artist, a musician and producer. I wanted to work with someone who could help me express this mantra as the journey I just described to you, right? Can you, like, this notion that we can be here on earth and we can go up to the infinite, into the etheric, and bring ourselves back down. And in so doing, create healing power. So Hide has no experience in Kundalini yoga. And I called him and he was like, it was a really funny conversation because we've known each other for a long time and he didn't want to say no. And I said, okay, just come over to my house. we'll be far apart and we'll do the meditation together. So he came over and we did the meditation for 11 minutes and we finished and he looked at me and he said, "I get it." And then I said, "Okay, so just close your eyes. This is what really happened." And I literally, like, I decided, I had a vision of how it would sound and I beamed it through my third eye into his. And he went off and took some notes from me and did a rough. And it was like
magic.
I've never experienced any music making that has flowed this magically and this easily. Like, he came back with a rough. It was basically exactly what I wanted. I purposefully had him not listen to other Kundalini mantra because I wanted to shape this mantra as a song. So, you know, when we practice, like when we practice Ramadasa Sase Sohang, we repeat it over and over and over and over. And that's the way we meditate with it.
Yes.
I wanted this healing frequency to reach more people. So I structured the song more like a popular song, more like there are verses, choruses, a bridge, and so on. So you wouldn't use my version of the mantra to meditate. You can use my version of the mantra to get the frequency from the mantra itself. So it was like, and then we were able to go record it at Apogee Studios and Brandon Duncan mixed it. And we did some really wonderful things, like we had live strings, which is always a joy recording live strings. Ooh, I get chills whenever I do recordings with the live strings. So it was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And the release for me has been magical. I mean, look where I am. I'm sitting here talking to you about it. It's such a gift. There's been different kinds of, you know, coverage in different places. I'm a music industry vet of over 20 years. I haven't released my own music in a really long time. So this is like a combination of everything I love, right? So I'm a Kundalini yogi and a teacher. I recorded a mantra and I got to release it on my own record label.
Wahe Guru, as they say. Right? I mean, that's the point. No, and you're right. You're absolutely right. And I wish you every success with this. And the single's out digitally, everyone. So it's just, we're looking for Ramadasa, correct?
Ramadasa by Jayanand.
By Jayanand.
Yes, thank
you so much. Yeah. So everybody, keep your eyes peeled for that and add that to your playlist for just uplifting music. I know when I don't want to, like, today I needed to put it on, I added it to my mantra playlist just to have going as I dealt with apartment cleanup and things like that, because we can use the upliftment all the time. And don't worry if you don't know the words, you'll find it. And you don't need to necessarily know the specifics of what each syllable of what we're singing means. It's there. The energy is there. And I feel that, again, supporting other artists in this category of music, you know, is a passion for you and something that you'll continue with, correct? I mean, what are
your plans? Absolutely. So BY Music is my record label. And what we're devoted to is releasing music that uplifts humanity.
Yeah.
So we have Kundalini music. So one thing to mention is these mantras are ancient, right?
Yeah.
And you would, it makes sense. Ramadasa was not necessarily put to Western music 1,000 years ago or 500 years ago. It's a Guru Ramadas mantra. So, or a few hundred years ago. So Kundalini music itself is new. You take the ancient mantras and you put them on the Western sound. So that's one kind of music that we release. And for example, we just released a track by Sanatam Kaur called River Ganga, featuring Deva Pramal and Krishna Das. So these are three of the West's great kirtan artists. And
indeed,
Sanatam is also a Kundalini mantra artist. And the song's called River Ganga, and it benefits something called the WASH Alliance, which is a charity that takes care of the Ganges River. And we have then all different kinds of artists doing other kinds of music. So White Sun is in our artist family, Opium Moon. I just signed Jim Kimo West, who won the Best New Age Album Grammy last year. So we're releasing his album, Om Akua. That's an album he's making with Joss Jaffe. So that'll be out in March of 2022. So that's what we do at BY Music. We're here to uplift humanity. It's not genre specific. So send me any good music and, you know, I'll listen to all of it. And please come take a look at our roster.
Yes, absolutely. No, you've got a great website. And, you know, thank you. I mean, it's certainly one of the things that I loved about Kundalini Yoga was the music in classes. When I first took my first class, I remember the music was just so great. And losing myself in mantra, I encourage people, again, even if you don't feel like trying the different mudras or breathing or anything like that, the repetition of mantra really can help you get in the zone. I remember an experience when I first lived in New York, and I had been taking yoga classes. It tended to be hatha, so we were focused on postures. But I found a kirtan class of Friday evenings, and I would sneak off and go chant. So kirtan would be the mantra, the singing, you know, with certain music and rhythms. And I would sneak off, you know, and time would pass so beautifully. I mean, it was incredible. And that was where I really started to find meditation. And that's ultimately what we're trying to do. We need to, as you mentioned, we are just inundated with constant thoughts, so much information coming in. And so I really feel that the soothing, healing power of these mantras and the beautiful music with which you're recording them, and you and your artists that you work with are recording, I think it really can help you, help a person find that calm, tranquility, and upliftment. I know that's the goal for you.
You're so right. You know, everything has a frequency, right? So mantra has a specific frequency. It accesses the perfection of sound of the nam, right? If it's done in something called the nod. And so when you have that frequency around you, it comes into you. It's kind of like, if you were at my house, I have little speakers playing mantra in every room of my house. And why do I do that? Because mantra projects a frequency, and it's soothing, it's healing, it's uplifting. There are mantras for protection. It's a whole practice. So you called this episode, the yoga of music, and you can have a whole practice of yoga just by listening to the mantra. That's a whole practice. You don't have to worry about doing anything else. If that's what works for you, go for it. You're so right, Bonnie. It's wonderful. I'm a mantra addict like you. So
yeah, big time. No, it's always, there's nice always something going. It's crazy. I had just heard, I wish I could qualify this a little more succinctly, but I'm going to say it and share it anyway, that we're in the Kali Yuga. That's the particular age that we're in right now, right? Mm-hmm. So you're familiar with what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Like sort of the age of Aquarius, but it's a different distinction according to the Vedic studies. Am I doing okay with this so far?
Yeah, keep going.
So anyway, I heard that specifically during this time, mantra was going to be the best way to transcend and really work with the energy of this time. Before previous eras, meditation, I think maybe the breath work, I don't remember the different examples, but right now, specific to the Kali Yuga, that's K-A-L-I, Yuga, L-Y-U-G-A, that mantra, that's what we're supposed to be doing. So again, you make it easy because you set it to such incredible music. And so I just wanted to ask you, as we wrap things up, what any hint at what mantra you might want to do next? I mean, do you have any ideas that what comes next?
Well, I do. So one of the things we do at Club Kundalini with this mantra, so we do the Ramadasa practice, prayer for healing. And then we take names and we maintain a list. And every day, so for example, if you knew someone who needed some healing, you could give me their name and we put it on the list. And we all together pray for healing for these particular people. And we do that for 30 days. And then if you need more healing for 30 days, you bring your name back, et cetera. So we also have a practice with the frequency of a call. And a call means undying, eternal, deathless. And it is chanted when people die, when souls leave their bodies, right? So 7 days a week, we chant a call for souls known, meaning people who bring the names of their dead,
yeah.
And for all souls unknown. And when you chant a call for a soul, what it gives that soul is like a tailwind to make it to transit across this earthly realm, beyond the veil and into the blue ethers, into whatever that soul's next phase is. You know, that's above my pay grade, whatever it is. But we can chant for all souls to make this journey successfully. So the next mantra I'll be recording most likely will be a call to be in service of what we're doing at Club Kundalini every day.
That is mighty. Okay, so as mentioned, visit Jayanand over at Club Kundalini on Clubhouse.
Yes.
Right? And so you can find her anytime. And you are doing fabulous work. And I'm so pleased to have spoken with you. And please, everybody, as I wrap up the show, just know that we're going to play the single at the end of the episode. We'll play a little taste, but we're sending you over to wherever you like to stream your music to give it a listen as well. So Sat Nam to you. Thank you. We wish you the best. I look forward to finding you over at Clubhouse soon and hopefully in a class at some point as well.
Oh, I hope so too. And thank you so much for having me on the show. It's such a wonderful thing to encounter another Kundalini sister, and especially one who's doing something so meaningful. I mean, Tools for Transformation, this is what we need in this age. So thank you so much, Bonnie. Sat Nam.
Sat Nam. Well, I am very grateful as we're talking about how I get to be here. That's because of my fearless producer, Tony Sweet, who has his very own show, Truth Be Told, on Fridays live at 3.
Okay.
So be sure to watch Tony as well as Robert Hensley with the Minuteman Report, also Mondays at 3. For Truth Be Told Transformation, I'm Bonnie Burkert, and thank you for listening and exploring, again, the possibilities here to live your highest truth with, be it through mantra, through yoga, through breathing, or just letting people know that we're here on the show and sharing it far and wide. Until the next time, Sat Nam.